I read this morning about the woman we could call the bent over woman. And she is met by Jesus in the temple. And the leaders were upset when she was healed. We have the paradox this morning of the leader of the synagogue, rather, being one and the same as the woman who is sick. And so we take a moment to remember Blair as she is recovering nicely from her illness this morning. May God bless her. Without realizing it, we come to divide the world into those who deserve and those who don't. For us, some people deserve health care and some don't. Some people's needs are worth accommodating and some aren't. It's part of our dualistic thinking. And dualistic thinking tends to divide everything into good and bad, deserving and undeserving, right and wrong, male, female, as if simple and righteous are one and the same. It helps us to keep life organized. It is why we find the two-party system so appealing. It's the either-or of life. And dualistic thinking says it's them and us. Anything else is unpleasant, too complicated, unclear, and illogical. It's the young child's simplistic view of life. But often this childishness extends way into adulthood, and it is dangerous. I'm always amazed, as I've said before here, I believe, that young men in my community, after the horrors of racism and misery that color differentiation has caused, that these young men of the same complexion are so desperately dualistic that those on this block will cover their similarly brown skins with blue shirts, blue caps, blue shorts and blue shoes, and while kids on the next block do the same in red. And now that they are dualistically separated in different colors of us and them, they call the neighbor kids the enemy and kill them. God spends a lot of time, 70 to 90 years or so, in your life and mine, trying to move us to a higher level of perception, to understand that you are literally me. Just over there, and I'm just over here. That you are just 63 years younger version of me. In fact, the genetic similarity between one man and another is said to be 99.9%. And the similarity between male and female is 98.5%. Jesus seems to spend most of his time helping people to understand that as humans, we are not just similar. We are all the same. We are all one. He exhorts you to love your neighbor as yourself. He told story after story and did act after act to help remove the delusion of us and them. You see, Jesus knew that when we become one with each other, life in our families, life in our cities, in our nation and our world will become literally heaven on earth. But even before that, when you, the individual, becomes one with your neighbor, your own life becomes heavenly. You're literally entering a godlike state. Let me read to you a little bit for a tease of what life will be like when we drop the us and them and become one from our Isaiah reading today. And you can follow along. I didn't write the verse down, but it's about the third stanza. Your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Sounds a lot like heaven to me. This is not promised as a result of a great savings and retirement plan. It is not promised as a reward for law-abiding citizenry or good laws or strong traditions. It is promised as a result of eradicating the us and them we childishly live by that is the cause of misery, conflict, wars, and injustice, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. There's a lot to learn from the lesson of the bent-over woman in today's story. We learn that she has a spirit of infirmity, suggesting that her debilitating posture might have been caused as much by spiritual or psychological problems as by physical. We learn that once again, Jesus had the compassion and the power to heal the sick. And we could explore that today and derive great lessons. But I'm going to depart a little bit from the obvious in the lesson to focus like a laser on the central lesson Jesus teaches here today. In an attempt to seduce the temple leaders and his audience into getting past their childish spirituality and desire and celebrate the well-being of the bent-over woman, he reminds them that the woman is a daughter of Abraham and therefore their very sister. He says, "You woke up this Sabbath morning and considered yourself a decent person for taking your subspecies donkey to get water, but you are outraged and consider me indecent lawbreaker for taking your sister to the healing waters to quench her 18-year misery away." Jesus was working hard on those analogies. This week, my big brother, with whom I shared a bed for 13 years, had serious heart surgery and I had come back from Jamaica last week, from the best vacation ever. Disturbed, though, at his condition. He was listless. My vibrant and quick brother had become a slow-motion version of himself. So it was tremendous to see him in recovery after surgery this week in pictures that were sent. Thank God for technology. And then to see him eating on his own just a few hours later at his own dining table. The hallelujahs and kudos poured in from my my nine other siblings. And our funny and loving big brother was going to be okay. Now, as I tell you that story, you might need to think of your own sibling or a close friend in order to really become empathetic with my feelings. You simply cannot feel the level of joy because he is not your brother. You didn't sleep with him for 13 years. But what if you could? What if you could see him as your brother? Then you would share my joy. There's a lesson here, not just for the Pharisees then. Remember, these people were in God's house. These leaders were God's guides. But we are also in God's house, and we have been chosen to be examples to God's world, to God's nation, to God's city. God is yearning to usher in a new era of human mutuality, also known as the kingdom of God. God wants it to be a reality on earth, just as it is in heaven. In Isaiah today, God has told us that what our individual and collective lives will be like when we broaden our understanding of us to include the kids in the blue shoes, blue shorts, and blue shirts on the next block. The neighbors from the other denomination, the other political party, the people in China, the families at the border, and the bent over woman. When our eyes become open to our one humanity, our DNA affinity, the oneness of our common origin, that we are all passengers on one small round spaceship covered by a delicate shroud of atmosphere, with unknown eons between us and any other creatures like us, that when we destroy the environment in Brazil, we all will suffer. But in the words of Isaiah, when we remove the yoke from among us and cease the pointing of the finger and the speaking of evil, when we offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the bent over woman among us, the world that we will create is nothing short of heaven on earth. Are you gloomy or depressed? Well, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. Do you feel lost, confused, unmoored? Then the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places. Are you vulnerable and weak? God will make your bones strong. Feeling unsatisfied and parched, You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You're feeling broken down and disconnected. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. Are you distressed by all of the rancor and nastiness? You shall be called the repairer of the breach. Are you scared to go downtown at night or over north at pretty much any time? You shall be called the restorer of the streets to live in. Brothers and sisters, when God's people in God's places of worship begin to be one single, compassionate, and inclusive people, we will heal the bent over, but we will also change the world. And then the kingdom comes. Amen.